Praise the Lord and welcome to another Gift of Life show. God bless you, family. I'm glad you're here. This is my fourth episode on Spiritual Eyes Parables. I'm doing a brief overview of the parables, starting with the four soils, or actually six soils, three unfruitful soils, and three fruitful, and then I talk about the growth, and then we'll get into the mustard seed parable. So it's really focused around the seed, and I love that because bottom line, it's talking about the time period. Jesus is talking about the time period that we live in, and for believers, we have the incorruptible seed living on the inside of us, and that seed, that message is Jesus Christ. To be formed in us. We are a brand new creation. Our position has changed. The old is gone. The new is here. Everything about the believer is brand new. We still have remaining toxic weeds and thoughts and rocks that we got to get out of our mind. But we have the power to do that now. We're not controlled and dominated by the old five-sense realm, the old us. That was basically in control of our life. That self-righteousness, that pride, me, myself, and I. That power has been broken. So I love the parables because they help us to understand the process of how we can respond to what I just said and how we should respond and how others should respond as we're busy about advancing God's kingdom by sowing His seeds. Because really, when you think about it, brothers and sisters, the only reason we're really left here on this side of glory is to evangelize, is to cast the seeds, to multiply, to reproduce Christ in us and others. And all the fellowship, all the worship, all the singing, all those other things and elements that we do here together, we're going to continue that in glory, but we're not going to continue evangelizing in glory because there'll be nobody there that's unsaved. So this is why we're here. To be conformed into God's image, because He predestined us to do that, and to allow His Spirit, by His power, perform in us. And that's what my book is all about. Do you see what I see? The four P's. Our position has changed. Now we have the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how He ministers to us. And then we can perform from that position, from that power, and always be aware of His presence. Isn't that beautiful? So if you haven't gotten my book, you need to do that. But hey, I want to tell you something. I'm dedicating this show to my youngest son, Tony Lamont Harris. And he gave me permission. I'm going to read something he wrote. He's a writer, too. He's like me. He loves to write, too. But he wrote something. After listening to the last episode, the third episode of Spiritual Eyes Parable. And if you missed that, you can go back to www.lovebyexample.com and just click on the archives and find number three, or go to Facebook and you can listen to this. But this is what he said to me after he listened to this, and it was so beautiful and touching. And I told him I was going to read it, and he said I could, and just bless this show with this, his reading and his insights, and I hope it blesses you. He says, "Wow, listening to this brought back some memories. When I heard the poem by Ruth, so pretty. Also, when you played the song at the end, Our God is an Awesome God, all the signing moves came back to me when we used to perform it. I see Dr. Leaf, too, I did see Dr. Leaf, too, and I see what she really looks like." He's talking about a video that he's seen. That what she really looks like and how she's really reaching out to other people all over. It sounds very well, and I'm not too overwhelmed. So basically, he's just saying he loved the show. The last episode helped him to remember certain things that we did together. Because we did sign Our God's an Awesome God. And I play songs at the end of the show, usually. And that was one I played. And I think I mentioned on that show, the third episode, that we signed with Helen Baylor, because that's who sung the song. Actually, we're on stage with her. That's a story in itself, but it was nothing but a miracle. And I praise God for that. So I just want, when I read that, that touched my heart, his mama's heart. And I wanted to read that and dedicate the rest of this show to him. And also, too, when I mentioned lovebyexample.com, I want you to know something, too. This is really neat. The Lord helped me to see this, is that LBE originally was birthed by our son, Tony Lamont. over 10 years ago, when we used to go to Grace Christian Fellowship, there was a school adjacent to that church, and it was called George Middle School, still there. But he had a burden to minister to these middle school kids during the wintertime when they're standing outside waiting for the bell to ring to go to school. He wanted to serve them hot chocolate. And so from that birthing, he, you know, went through the right channels of authority and got the blessing. And he started serving hot chocolate to these people early in the morning, these kids early in the morning while they're waiting to go to school. Well, that's been like over 10 years ago. And to this day, that has grown. And the influence from George Middle School or Grace Christian Fellowship to George Middle School, the outreach, the evangelism has grown immensely. And you can always go to the site and check that out, George Middle School or Grace Christian Fellowship, and you'll see the connections that started out small, like it says in that mustard seed faith in Mark 4, 30, 34. Started out tiny little mustard seed, but because it was watered and nurtured and planted, that seed grew, and it's still growing to this day. So Lamont, I dedicate that to you too. Praise God, He used you in that. And then we adopted the name for our eternal website, Love by Example, for our ministry.com. So, you know, I just want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, if you are born again and you have that incorruptible seed on the inside of you, but these four soils or these six soils, they're important for you to know, because Jesus said in Mark 4, 13, that if you understand just this one parable about the sower sowing the seed, you'll understand everything else that he's talking about when it comes to the parables. And when you really think about it, I told you what a parable was earlier. A parable is an earthly story, something that we can relate to, tangible, something that, you know, that's relatable. We get it. But it has a spiritual, deep meaning to it. And that's where Jesus interprets the meaning to us, for us. But the only way you can receive it and understand it, you have to believe what he says. That's it. And he talked about, I mean, it's all in there. You should read it. It's Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke 8 about the parable of the sower and the seeds, and especially Mark 4, 13. And so if you're kind of dry in your walk with the Lord, you don't think like you are growing and you aren't producing anything, and you're just kind of like it's a 9-to-5 kind of a day, living from the 5-sense realm, really not touching in the spiritual realm, go to the sower sowing the seeds, because that's where you're going to really understand. And that particular time period, even though it was over 2,000 years ago, it's still relevant today, because it's all about God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he is calling you. If you are a believer, he wants to use you. He is not done with you. He's got a plan for you. And he said in his word, I love this. I believe it's in right here. I got it. Jeremiah. It says, not Jeremiah, but look at Isaiah 55. Look what it says here. I think I got it right here. I mean, Jeremiah 29, most people know that one. Jeremiah 29, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of hope and the future, not of calamities and all that. He has a plan for you. But look what it says here in Isaiah 55:8-9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are as high as the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. And then listen to this. I love this one. This is in Jeremiah 29:23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands. I love that. And he knows me, that I am the everlasting, look at that, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness to the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So he is saying basically his thoughts about us are good thoughts. And you know what? He says your thoughts, my thoughts, are not his thoughts. So the only way we're going to find out what his thoughts are about us, we got to read the word and believe what he says. And I think the first thing that believers need to really get a handle on, that's why I wrote the book, Do You See What I See? By God's leading. I give him all the credit. I boast in him. Is that we need to get a grip on who we are in Christ. That's just it. Because when you read Galatians 4:19, Romans 8:29, and Philippians 4:13, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's what our vision is all about. is that our vision is that Christ be formed in us. That's bottom line. When you get Christ developing in your spirit, in your mind, and your body, and your soul, then everything else just falls in place. But it's a constant lifestyle of learning how to renew your mind, detox, and renew your mind, waxing on those old remaining toxic thoughts. Because in our spirit, we're brand new. As somebody said, we're one-third wall-to-wall Holy Spirit perfect. But we still have the remaining in our mind and in our brain and in our body memories of toxic thoughts that hound us and will control us if we don't recognize what they are and where they're coming from and take control over that. That's what it means to cast down those toxic thoughts, cast down those things, those reasonings and those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5 or 2 Corinthians 10:5 and then Romans 12:2. Most people know that. Be not conformed to this world way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. So bottom line is, we get to the Word. And the Word, remember now, I love this, we're breaking it down. The Word comes from the thoughts of God and what He thinks about us. See, I believe this, everything begins and ends with a thought. God thought a thought eons of times ago. And He spoke it. He spoke those words, spoke those thoughts, and creation happened. And here we are. That's the kind of God we serve. Okay? And He's put His nature on the inside of those who put their trust in Christ. Christ took our sinful nature and crucified it. Romans 6:6. All of Romans 6:6, 7, and 8. Crucified it. Galatians 2:20. Crucified it. But He gave us, killed it. And He gave us His life that we could walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. So brothers and sisters, I just want you to experience who God created you to be. And if sickness, poverty, depression, psychiatric labels, I don't care what's happened. If you're still breathing and you're a believer, hey, God is not done with you yet, okay? You can call on Him and He will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you knoweth not. Don't give up. Don't give in to those toxic thoughts, to just the way it is now. Don't listen to what the world says. Decrease your listening to the world's news. Listen to the good news gospel, which is in the Word of God. Watching the world's news is very bleak and very ugly and very depressing. And so I would encourage you to watch what you know. God tells us in His Word to guard our heart in Proverbs 4, to guard our heart. That means our mind. Guard our heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. So we're to protect our mind because that is, out of that comes the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what it says. And another one in Proverbs 27:17 talks about, it's like looking in a water and seeing a reflection of your face. That's what happens when you gaze at something, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's good or bad, whether it's a blessing or a curse. The more you look at something, the more you think about something, the more you say something, it's going to become part of you. So you need to decide who you're going to believe. Whose report are you going to believe? Isaiah 53. Who are you going to choose? Life or death? Blessings or cursing? So I hope you choose life. Because that seed inside you, it will grow in Christ Jesus. And if you don't have that seed, you need to be born again. Because that's how you get the seed of Christ inside you. And it's a miracle. It's like Mary, Jesus' mother, young maiden, minding her business. And the angel comes and tells her, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, how could this be? I haven't been with a man. He goes, hey, nothing's impossible with God. And you're going to have a baby and you're going to call him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that beautiful? So I believe that stuff. And so I'm all about teaching believers who they are in Christ so they can experience their power and the power of their Holy Spirit and their spiritual gifts and learn how to perform from there and then stay aware of His presence. Now, one of the things I'm really excited about this, this new ministry that God has given us is that we are really learning in a powerful way. We're really learning how to take these seeds that God has given us and how to broadcast them. We have six ladies now that God has raised up that come sometimes twice a week, but at least once a week, and we meet together, and God has birthed in all of us a very common theme, which is Christ and our families, to see Christ work in our lives, in our family, and to have a women's seminar in April, and we titled it See You, Be You, using Romans 6:4. And but we're going to be using this seed, this parable, the seeds, to really help people to understand what Jesus is conveying through the Word of God. So we're getting to the roots. That's what I want to do. I want to get to the root of the heart issue. What's happening in our heart that's causing us not to perform in a way that God would have us to perform? So it's very important that you know this. And so right here, I would like to just review the parable of the sower, sowing the seeds in I'll go to Matthew 13. But it's all about the condition of the heart. It's all about the condition of the heart. Remember I said last time it has nothing really to do with the sower. Anybody can sow the seed. And it has really nothing to do with the seed, because the seed is perfect, but it's the condition of the heart. And remember, the Lord is using an earthly story, and he's interpreting the meaning of it. So the heart, the soil, the ground, is parallel to the spiritual heart of a human being, which would be the mind. Okay, the mind. When he talks about the heart, he's not talking about our physical heart. We don't think with our physical heart, but we think with our mind. But the heart he uses, because if you mess with the heart, not much is going to happen with the body. Well, if the mind gets messed up, nothing's going to really happen correctly with the body and the brain. So it's the condition of the heart. And the first one, and remember, this is a self-examination for yourself first. That second Corinthians 13:8. So you have to examine yourself and see where you're at. See where you're at so you can move forward and become fruitful 30, 60, and 100 times fold. And those three levels are personally for you. It doesn't mean you're trying to get from 30 to 60 to 100. No. Wherever God has you at, if it's 30 that you're producing, if it's 60, that's great. If it's 100, that's great. Because every person is different. So we're not competing here at all. We're just finding out and completing who we really are in Christ. So the first soil is the hard, unbelieving soil. Okay? This is the one that you read about in Matthew 13. And again, remember, I said they're all mentioned in all three Gospels. But in Matthew 13, I'm not going to read them all because I've done this in a previous series. But just by way of review, that's the wayside soil. So in Matthew 13, that's 13:4. This is the one that hears the word. They have no understanding. Satan is like the bird. He snatches away the word and they don't believe. Basically, they're unsaved. They don't get it. They're not interested in it. Okay? Then you have the uncommitted soil or the uncommitted mentality. This is a person that hears the word. They receive it with joy. But then there's no roots. They don't have any roots there. Because when afflictions and trials and persecution comes, they fall away. They fade away. So this is kind of like a double-minded person. They're excited one minute and something happens. So they're being controlled by the five sense realm, basically. And there's really no roots there. But they look like on the outside they're growing tall and big. I took the group out yesterday and we had a fabulous meeting. And we had I took them on a field trip right here in our home, in our garden. And I used this particular one as an example of what it means to fade away with a plant that was growing very, very tall because it had no really good roots. But now, even though this is kind of talking about unsaved people, but this is still a process that believers have got to go through too and see where they're at. And then there's a third one, the unfruitful soil, the unfruitful hearer. These are all about how people respond to the seed being sown in their heart. They hear the word, but they go their own way because they allow the worries and the cares of the life choke out the word of God. These are the weeds that are in the person's mind that they haven't plucked up, that they haven't pulled out, that they haven't recognized. And so they become deceived by the riches of the world. They lust for other things. other than God, and it chokes out the word, and they're basically unfruitful. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this is what we have sitting in our main churches today, in a lot of our churches. And then there's the fourth one, the fruitful soil. They hear the word, they accept it, they understand it, and they yield a crop 30, 60, or 100-fold over, and they bear fruits for God. This is a fruit-bearing tree. So that was a real quick overview, because I want to go more next time on episode 5 on the mustard seed, or actually on how the seed grows, a good soil grows. It's powerful. And that's in Mark 4, and then we'll go into the mustard seed. And I really want to stay on the seed principle, because it just makes sense. When we were born again, 1 Peter 1:3, it says that we were born again. Believers, not of an incorruptible seed. See, not with a seed that's, an earthly seed. Because the earthly seed will corrupt, right? It's the spiritual things that last forever and ever. When he says, not with the incorruptible seed, but not by a corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. And that's 1 Peter 1. I always give them, my students, 1:3, and then I let them go down to verse 23. But 3 says this. It says, it says right here, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten or born us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then you drop all the way down to 23, and this is what it says here. I love this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And remember, the words of God, thoughts of love and peace and joy that he thinks about us. Hallelujah. He wants us to focus on his son. He wants us to enjoy his son. He wants us to be aware that it's his son in him, in us, that gives us this message of love. See, the seed, every seed that's planted, they say one seed can grow many, can grow a forest. Every seed has a message. Every seed has a DNA. Every seed has a living hope on the inside of it. Well, our living hope, when we allow that seed to be planted into our minds, and then we don't allow the birds and the devil to snatch it away. We don't allow those rocks and persecution make us fade away. We don't allow the weeds to choke out that seed, but we cultivate it. We memorize it. We mouth it. We speak it. We share it. We read the word. We guard it. We guard that seed. And in doing that, the message and the messenger, which is Jesus Christ being formed in us, he, I don't know how he does it. We're going to learn about that in the next parable in Mark 4 about the growing seed. It's a miracle begins to happen even while you're sleeping. Sweet sleep. While you're sleeping, the seed of God's word in Christ in you begins to grow. And more of you decreases, your old stinking way of thinking, and the more of he increases. That's what it says in John 3:30. John the Baptist, his own second cousin, said, I must decrease so you can increase. And John the Baptist in his mother's womb and Luke 1 bowed down to Mary when Mary approached Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. Brothers and sisters, this is real stuff, but this is how it works. This is how it works. So do you see what I see? If you haven't got my book, buy it. Purchase it. It's well worth it. Read it. If you're a female and you're hungry in Christ and you have a humble heart and you want to join us here at the home, just contact me. Let me know. It's open, but you have to be hungry and you have to be humbled, because you will eat when you come here. Hallelujah. And you got to be humble, because he is going to correct us. But it's good. It's all good. It's not to condemn us, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but it is to love us and then awaken us to these different things that are hindering us from watching Christ grow in us. Hey, I love you. I gotta go. I want you to enjoy this song, because it's about enjoying the sun and who you are in Christ. I'll see you real soon, and God bless you.
Excuse me, I'm going to interrupt your life, but if you want to save your life, You need to believe in the sun.
Fresh lyrics from a fresh spirit. Gaze at the sunshine, wanna be near it. Can't see the wind, but you know it's shifting. Can't see the beat, but you know it's hitting. Peep out the change, you know I'm living a brand new life, and I've been forgiven for sinning. Doors ripping off the hinges. Anointing is raw, y'all. I'm so gifted. We're smack dab in the middle of the solar system. Yet you still don't believe it is He who calculated the oxygen from the trees so that His creation's enabled to breathe. I take nothing for granted on the planet. Complaining, y'all, it's so hard to understand it. Who's got the copyright to the water we drink? Without the sun, God made it gets harder to eat, you think?
Come on. Let's enjoy the sun while it's available. Can't explain the feeling that it gives my soul.
Come on.
Yeah.
What you know about the sun, baby?
Hey,
let's enjoy the sunshine now. Let's rejoice the sun came out. Please recognize we depend on the Father. His design is so perfect the government can't alter. See, He stretched out the heavens that we marvel at. You think you know God by digging up some artifacts?
Human intelligence.
It takes much more than that. Sun contains 98% of the solar system's mass. Why is that important? Well, when the thrill is gone, we are history, kinda like a Michael Jackson song. And they still try to explore the moon and the stars. They make hypothetical theories like they know what they are. Well, the truth of the matter is we're lost without God. So enjoy what He is and respect what He's done. Most importantly, my friends, you must believe in the sun. Cause when He steps foot on the earth, man, the kingdom has come.
Come on.
Let's enjoy the sun while it's available. Can't explain the feeling that it gives my soul.
Come on.
Yeah.
What you know about the sun, baby?
Can't explain this brilliance. Some folks want to deny him pharisaical spirits. Ears been wide open, yet they still can't hear. Even after the fourth plague, man, they still won't fear. They cover up the truth with lies and school books. Came from a bang and evolved from what fool? A cosmic slop that magically created a bear who knows just when it's time for hibernation. I don't think so, don't deceive the people. Hundreds of miracles recorded in the old scrolls. Expose the truth, let's get them mad again. No secrets stored up or tucked away like the Vatican.
Come on.
Let's enjoy the sun while it's available.
Hope this ain't too deep for you.
Can't explain the feeling that it gives my soul.
Come on.
Yeah.
What you know about the sun, baby?
Here's your invitation to explore creation. He's the ultimate designer, man.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt your life, but if you want to save your life, you need to believe in the